listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 88. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the previously covered in man glitter, but now he's had a shower, John Brownstone.
That would be me.
Today we are answering listener questions again, and maybe we'll actually get through all of them this time.
That would be nice.
I know. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on iTunes to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm and us pretty much anywhere else,
yeah.
Including Twitter.
Yeah.
We're everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Scary.
I know. And all the links are in the show notes. A big thank you to Vin Charles of Ecstatic Relaxation for sponsoring the show this week. Vin Charles combines eroticism and hypnosis with his deep, sexy voice to give you, whether you're single or in a relationship, an orgasmic and kinky experience like no other. His voice guides your pleasure and your orgasm through storytelling. You'll experience a hands-free, touch-free, kinky experience simply through the power of his voice, the story he tells, and a bit of hypnosis. He's got a special offer for listeners of Loving BDSM, just for you guys, a story of orgasm denial called Almost There that's only $14.95. By the time you're done listening, you'll be begging for more, which is, of course, the point.
The point.
Right, yes. And y'all don't think that this is just for single women, although it is definitely for that. He's got options for women and men, and he works with couples. He understands kink and DS, so you actually get a legitimate experience fueled by his words and your imagination. The effects last well beyond the time you spend listening, too. Reports are that after the fact, when you're in different situations that even kind of remind you of the time you've spent listening, you're going to have better orgasms, and you're going to associate pleasure with submission and some of the stuff you experience within the story, whichever story you choose, not just the one he's got called Almost There. He's got multiple stories, so it's pretty cool. And one of our listeners is an absolute fan of his and has told me multiple times that she always orgasms when listening to Vin's voice and absolutely recommends Ecstatic Relaxation for anyone. So, how do you get the special offer? Because I know you're dying. You're on the edge of your seat. It's killing you. Your fingers are on the keyboard. How do I get this orgasmic experience? I know that's what's happening out there. So I'm going to say it, but I want everybody to not panic. We will have the link in the show notes page. We'll have the link on Twitter. We will put the link out. But the link is ecstaticrelaxation.com/lovingbdsm. Try that again. ecstaticrelaxation.com/lovingbdsm. And yes, you do need to know how to spell ecstatic and relaxation. And if you're like, shit, I don't remember. Don't worry. I've got links. They will be in the show notes. They'll be on Twitter. But if you're right there and you're like, shit, I just want to type it. ecstaticrelaxation.com/lovingbdsm. Okay.
Okay.
On to the show.
Yay.
So I've got announcements. That's totally a thing now. It's a thing. I've just decided announcements are a thing, but I'm trying to make them quick. Okay, so this first one probably won't be as quick as I'd like it to be, but it will be quick. We've got our first online munch scheduled. This thing is happening.
Yeah.
July 1st.
We tested the video link.
We tested it. Yeah. We tested it in the same room on two different computers, so we got this lovely little echo.
Mm-hmm. yeah, that was interesting.
And we wondered who was going crazier. But yes, it'll be July 1st. So here's how this works. We're going to live stream it through YouTube on a private link. That the only way you can access it is to have the link. So we will promote the link within the community. You have to be a member of the community, and you have to be a paid member at the top tier, which, y'all, that probably sounds like a shit ton. It's not. It's $7.99 a month. I'm not trying to, you know, milk anybody for their cash, but we like to think that there's some value to this, and it helps support the show, and we want people to join in. So it is a live stream. We will announce the time in the community, and I'll do all members message so everybody sees it, but the only way you can access it is to be at that paid level. If you cannot make it at that time, or if you are hearing this way after July 1st and you are sad and disappointed, please do not be sad and disappointed. You will be able to watch the recording of it after the fact. So we're going to live stream it. And anybody who can join us at the time that will be listed in the community is welcome to. We'll have a live chat function. We will probably fuck it all up the first time as we kind of figure this out on the fly. Because that's how we do things, is we figure them out as we're doing them for the first time.
Fly in the seat of our pants.
Pretty much. but then, if you couldn't make it for the live part, you'll be able to watch it later and laugh at the hilarity.
Mm-hmm.
So,
We'll do it again the following month.
Exactly, and we'll do it again the following month. I cannot guarantee it will always be the first of the month. It will probably be we're going to try and be consistent maybe the first Saturday of each month.
Right.
That may change too, only because sometimes you have things to do on the first Friday of the month that make you not get home until crazy late. And so we'll have to see. And I do not know if John Brownstone will be wearing clothes because he doesn't wear clothes for the podcast. I don't know. Are you going to wear a shirt, not wear a shirt? Are you going to look nice?
Why should I start now?
And
it is no pants day.
But to me, every day is no pants day.
Well, yeah.
So that's lovely that as the day we're recording, let's be clear, because people might be hearing this another day.
That's true.
The day we're recording on June 22nd, it is no pants day, but I celebrate no pants day every day.
So do I.
Will we be celebrating no pants day on the day of the first lunch?
It's possible.
Okay. If you have not registered for the community, the link is in the show notes page. You can easily find it on lovingbdsm.net. We're going to try and do monthly themes, so any suggestions you have are great. This first one is completely open. We might just talk about what the hell a fucking munch is anyway, and just chat. It won't be more than an hour unless the conversation really gets good.
Mm-hmm.
No clue how much less than an hour it might be. We are truly flying by the seat of our pants.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there'll be coffee.
Of course there'll be coffee. I might go out special and get some good coffee. I don't have to make kind of coffee.
Wow.
I know. Spend some money. I know. See, I need y'all to sign up so I can support our coffee habit. Anyway, so that's coming July 1st. And like I said, if you're hearing this after July 1st, you, as long as you're a paid member at the $7.99 level, you would get access to it. So you can watch it after the fact. Next is just a quick reminder, Kinky Book Club. Mm. July 1st is also the start of Kinky Book Club.
Wow.
I know, I really have to read the book.
A lot going on for July.
A lot fucking going on in general. reminder, the book is the new and improved Loving Dominant by John Warren. Link in the show notes. Links within the community. Links everywhere, don't worry. But I just want to do that quick reminder. There's not going to be some live thing. It's just that the question and that part of the form will sort of start to open up on July 1st. Or around July 1st, maybe the day before, just so I can get ahead of the munch, which will have me on edge. It's all crazy. So that's the announcements.
Okay.
Anything else will be in the bonus section.
Right.
Yes, there's a bonus section. We got a postcard. So there's that. Yay. Are you stealing the microphone away from
No.
me? No. You are yanking the microphone away from me. Are you trying to tell me something?
No.
I'm sure you are.
I'm just trying to adjust it so it's more in between us.
But what if I wanted you to have to come closer to me in order to get to the microphone?
Well, in adjusting it to bring it to this more between us, I'm bringing you closer to me.
Yeah, but I like it when you come closer to me.
Let's move on.
Baby girl wants what baby girl wants. Okay, so we're going to actually get into the show?
Yes.
I'm double checking. Yeah, no more announcements. We can do the actual show now. Okay, so last week we were episode 87.
Right.
We were really ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
And took a gigantic question and thought that we wouldn't talk for very long about it.
Yeah.
And that we would get to other questions.
Sure.
That is not what happened.
No.
So we have another question.
Yeah.
And I make no promises. I've got to stop trying to pretend and predict what the hell's going to happen. I don't know. So we're going to go to the question that we wanted to do last week. If there are any other questions.
My entire life with her. I don't know.
Me neither. Anyway, I'm going to read this question that you received. It came to you.
Yes.
And we will try to answer it together.
Correct.
In our way.
Yeah.
And if it does not produce an hour-long rant / ramble like episode 87 did, we may answer another one.
Right.
Okay. So we're on the same page here.
Pretty much.
Okay. So I'm going to read this question. And of course, we're not giving any names.
No.
We're not, you know, all that. Okay. So the question, the email that came through. My wife has been requesting for me to spice things up lately, but as she does not like talking about sex, she does not like talking about what she enjoys. She is typically more vanilla, but every once in a while, we'll start to push the envelope. I've tried to introduce toys, but usually don't get a response one way or the other. As she wants me to take control, I started listening to your podcast. Yay! Thanks for listening for inspiration, but wasn't sure how to start a scene such as me being more dominant to test the waters. Then that's the email. And
right.
I definitely have opinions, but do you have opinions?
Yes.
Okay. Who gets to go first with their opinions?
Me.
Oh, yes, Daddy.
Okay. Well, one of the first things I told him, I mentioned to him when I replied to him was, you know, here is a clear sign of needing to communicate more. Okay. Even though she doesn't like to talk about sex, she may not be open to talking about it face to face, but, you know, maybe she'd be willing to write some things down.
Sure, in an email, you know, or
either
a piece
in
paper.
An email or piece of paper, you know, to kind of get her to open up about what she likes and what she wants. Before you can do something like that, you have to know what they want.
Exactly. And okay. If introducing things like a toy is eliciting no response one way or the other, you can't just go in blind and go, you know, I'm setting this scene based on what I like, but I have no clue what my partner likes.
Right. You know, another thing to think about, which I didn't think of at the time, but is very appropriate, a kinky checklist.
That would be one way. You but know, again, you still have to at least be able to have the conversation enough to say, hey, I have this list of things. You don't even have to talk to me about these list of things when you first read it.
Right.
Just check off what you think you'd like. But there will come a point you're going to have to talk to one another.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you need to break some ground. I mean, even with you in the beginning, you know, you were very introverted and had your walls.
Were.
And...
Oh, I know. I think
not
it
to
really
me, went. Not to me anymore.
That's true.
Now I'm on the opposite side of the coin. I can't get you to be quiet. But
I have nothing to say to that.
Oh. So, you know, I used to have to tell her, you know, baby girl, use your words. You know, one of the ways I was able to get you to begin opening up to me and trusting me to talk to was to have you write me an email. Or write me a letter.
And writing has always been much more comfortable for me.
For you, yes.
Especially when, even with important things I want to say that aren't about sex or aren't about kink or just emotions and thoughts I really want to express that in my mind tells me if you say these things out loud, you're going to sound stupid, which is what I think a lot of people who find that they can't say the things they need to say, that's kind of what they're thinking. This is going to sound stupid. Mm-hmm. And if I say it out loud, I'm going to be ridiculous. And I've always found it easier to express myself through writing. So I've told you good things, bad things, kinky things, sexy things. I mean, just whatever seemed like big and important and unsayable, I've reverted to writing it down. It's just easier. And I would love if this person is listening. I would love a follow-up that we would not air, but I would love to know if presenting his wife with the idea of just write it down for me. You have to look at me this first time. Just write down what you like or what you don't like. I would love to know if that worked because that is our kind of go-to when somebody says, I can't say it out loud. Okay, well, I'm going to need you to write it down.
Write it down.
Because nothing is going to happen if you can't communicate about
it. Right. Somehow, some way you have to break that communication stalemate.
Now, I can kind of see where part of this problem can happen, not just if the other person just finds it hard or inappropriate or weird or awkward to say things. If she has this fantasy, and we don't know, I mean, I'm not trying to say, oh, she definitely does, but if she has this fantasy that having somebody take control means that they somehow just sort of know what you want, well, there's a couple things here. One, there's a problem.
Right.
Because nobody can ever just know.
No dom especially is a mind reader. Nobody is a mind reader. You know, do I understand what Kayla wants and needs? After 3 years of being together, yes, to a good extent I do, because I've been with her long enough that I know her tells. Okay. I know when she's acting sassy in a certain way. What she wants. You know, I've also had to learn her anxiety and other things. So you know, to a certain extent, I learn her, but I'm never going to say that I totally know what you want.
And I agree with you completely. So what I'm about to say is not trying to negate that, but you made a point. As you've gotten to know me. So what I'm thinking is, depending on how long this particular couple has been together and how good of a relationship they've got in general, you know, it is possible to have a really good non-sexual good relationship where you know your partner really, really well. Mm-hmm. And it's the sex thing is the part that's like not quite there yet. Right.
Right.
So if there is a clear agreement between the two of you that she wants you to take more control in this situation, and she's still hesitant to talk about it. The other thing you might want to try is, and this is where it takes a lot of work on the Dom's part, and it's not something I would ever just recommend for just anybody or the first thing you try. I think it is only in special circumstances, but if mm-hmm. you've been together for some amount of years and you have a good relationship otherwise, I would then sit down, make a list or write it out or just think a really long time about what you do know about your wife,
mm-hmm.
where she maybe in the past has asked for help or asked for your control. Most people don't say the words out loud, "I want your control." What they will do is say, "What do you want me to do? How do you think I should handle it?
Right.
What should I do?" What they end up doing, from my experience, submissives who either don't know yet that they're submissive or don't yet know how to easily or forcefully or forthrightly ask for what they want, they tend to ask questions. They ask for help.
Right.
They ask for guidance. And if there's anything in your relationship where your wife has consistently and continues to consistently ask for your guidance, wants your input, wants you to lead, hands over the leadership, hands over the control and says, "I can't deal with this, you decide," that may be the place to very slowly, very carefully start taking a little bit of control.
Right.
And see how she feels about
that. And there's the key word, slowly.
Oh, yes.
It's just like finding out somebody likes, you know, say they approach you and say, "Oh, I want impact play."
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't run out and spend a fortune on paddles and floggers and other things. Start slowly. Work your way up to things. You know, talks about setting a scene. You know, you can do something very simple. You know, if they say they want to try impact play, you don't need to go out and buy all these expensive toys right off the bat. Start out with a simple over-the-knee spanking.
Or bent over the bed. Some people find that really sexy. Or he mentioned sex toys. Now, sex toys to me, toys in general for me, that's a completely overlapping subject. So it's not just vibrators and dildos. Mm-hmm. Oh my. It's, for me, sex toys is floggers and paddles. It's all. Yeah,
it's abroad.
It's whatever the hell I'm using to play and whatever the hell way that gets me out. But the other thing is you can play, and the hard part is if you do not know what she wants yet, you cannot just start doing this. The first thing to figure out what she wants or what she likes or what she thinks she wants. But
And again, because she wants to try some sex toys, don't run out and buy a Sibian right off the bat.
No. But that's where I'm going with this. So, you know, in control and in DS, you know, when it comes to sexual play, orgasm control is one of, assuming both parties agree to it, it's one of the easiest ways to do it. And a lot of people think they need a toy. Toys are fun. We have loads of them. But that's not necessary, especially when you're first starting out. If you have a relatively decent sexual relationship with your partner and you know what gets them off and you already know the ways to touch them that they enjoy, introducing control in that aspect, again, you have to make sure they like it.
Yeah, forced orgasm, or orgasm denial, edging.
Right. It can start with your hand or your tongue or fucking each other. It doesn't require something big and elaborate. And I think that's where a lot of people get really bogged down in the whole idea of a scene.
Mm-hmm.
They see in their head this fantasy that they want. Maybe they've watched some porn. Maybe they've been on Tumblr a little too much. Wherever they've read a book, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they imagine that their scenes have to be these really big, elaborate productions with a lot of gear and a lot of costumes and a lot of pre-planning.
No.
And you can have those.
Oh, absolutely.
And they can be fun. But when you're new and you're still figuring this out, especially figuring it out together, start
slow.
Slow and small.
Yeah.
It really does, pardon the term, make a big impact.
Right.
You know, because you've got to, before you can set this massive elaborate scene, you've got to make sure your partner may say to you, I think I want orgasm control on whatever level. And then you try it and they go, I don't want orgasm control. That can happen. Or they may say, oh yeah, spank me. And you hit them and they go, don't fucking spank me ever again.
Don't do that. Yeah.
So you always want to start slow with that when it's something that's brand new to you, and start with the basics. And the basics are hands, mouth, body parts, mm-hmm. nothing you have to buy.
Right.
Don't buy things unless the only way to try something is to buy the thing.
Right.
You know, you can't know if you like a Wartenberg wheel until you have a Wartenberg wheel used on you. You know, I mean, I get that. But if impact play is intriguing and you've never, ever had a spanking between you, start with spanking and work from there.
Yeah.
So setting the scene, you cannot, dear wonderful listener, you cannot set a scene at all until you have an idea of what she likes, what she doesn't, what she's interested in.
Right.
And the other thing that I think gets lost for a lot of people when they're new, so you go through, maybe you go through a checklist, or you just say, I had this fantasy, I read this book, I saw this porn, whatever, and you start from a point of reference and you say, I think I want to try this thing, right? So what happens is you say, okay, let's try that thing. You mm-hmm. try it, and it doesn't, fantasies never match to reality,
no.
And so the person discovers, oh, I don't like that in that way, the way that I thought I would, mm-hmm. right? And there's some element. It was too stingy. It was too fast. It was too harsh. It was overwhelming. It could be anything. Okay. So a lot of people, I think, when they're new, have that experience and they go, oh, this whole kink thing's just not for me. And they
blow it off.
Or they freak out and they think, yeah, I'm not really as kinky as I thought I was. Well, no, what you had was one experience. And this mm-hmm. is where it comes back to the need for really good communication. If you set your small scene, because remember, you're new and you're starting small, and it's orgasm control, right? And it's, you have to ask for permission. And your partner, who's never had to hold back their orgasm, doesn't manage to do it that first time. And one or both of you thinks, oh, well, this orgasm control thing isn't for us. You can have that thought. That's your prerogative. But what I would recommend, if it is something you are still interested in, and instead of feeling somehow defeated or like you're defective, which I know people out there will do, this is where, after the scene, when everything's calm again, while you're naked or not, that part doesn't matter. You have to talk about it. What worked? Yes. What didn't? What were you thinking? What were you feeling?
What did you like? What didn't you like?
Exactly. And so then the next time, and it's not always immediate. Sometimes, you know, life gets in the way or whatever. The next time you try it, you remember what worked and what didn't, and you modify it and you try it again in a different way, assuming it's something you want to continue mm-hmm. trying.
It's something that, you know, you don't come up with it and it's set in stone.
No,
it's fluid. You constantly have to work to change to the situation.
Absolutely.
Because no situation, what worked very well 2 weeks ago with you may not work the same way with you today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that goes for any gender, either side of the slash.
Right.
It's all of us. You know, life gets in the way, illness, stress, mental health, physical health, all of that. And so what you're doing, the more we call it a journey, and some people sort of roll their eyes when they talk about journey. So, okay, you don't like the word journey, call it a process. There is a process mm-hmm. to kink and to BDSM and to DS.
A growth process.
And it's an ongoing, constant process. Yeah. And so what happens is every experience you have in the kinky or DSE kind of way with your partner needs to kind of be filed in your mind for future use. So you're going to have a point of reference. Oh, I did that thing and that worked. So the next time you have the opportunity, you're going to do that thing mm-hmm. again. And it's a learning process. Your partner is going to react, good or bad. If they react badly, you then have to step back and go, okay, was it my method? Was it their mood? Are they not feeling good? And whatever you learn from that second experience, mm-hmm. you file away for later use. And the more you play with each other, the more you interact, the more you just do stuff, small stuff, big stuff, elaborate scenes, simple things, whatever, mm-hmm. the more you learn about each other. And it's a constant learning process.
Right.
We have been fucking since 2013. 4 years of fucking.
Wow.
I know, right? Not nearly as much fucking as I think we should do, but still fucking.
Yeah.
And we still have experiences now, after only 4 years, I can't imagine when it'll be like 10 or 15 or 20 years, where I think, oh, we've never done that position before.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, I normally like that, but I'm not feeling that today.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just how it is for anybody. That's right. That's not a kink thing. That's a human thing. It's a vanilla and a kink thing. And so the more you interact with each other in that sort of kinky way, and that's during sex and outside of sex.
Yes.
The more information you have to file away in your brain for how, what to expect the next time you are together in that kink way, whether it's a very sexual, you know, fetishy kind of way, whether it's just, hey, you're my submissive and I'm going to give you a task. Oh, the last time I gave you this task, it worked. Today, you, what? You're having a breakdown. You have cramps. You had a bad day at work. I'm going to have to modify.
And adjust.
Every single thing we do in DS, sexual or not, is in a constant state of adjustment. Nothing is static.
Flux
is a good word.
Yes.
We know what the basic outlines are. We know he's dominant, I'm submissive. He's daddy, I'm baby girl. He's going to say, hey, baby girl, I want a cup of coffee. And 99% of the time, he's going to get exactly what he wants. And then there's going to be that 1% where something's going on or there's something wrong.
Or you're not feeling good or you have a migraine.
Right, and we're going to adjust. It doesn't make us that minor adjustment doesn't make us any less DS.
No.
It just means we adjusted for life. So the more you interact with each other on that DS level, after you get past the whole you have to get her to communicate with you part,
right?
The more you'll learn and the more you'll be able to do. But it is, people want to go from zero to suspended from rope
yes,
and flogging their partner and fucking them simultaneously. They want to go from zero to that in 5 minutes. And it never goes that way.
No, it
ever,
doesn't.
Ever.
And you know, her... You know, kind of try to understand, too, what her inability to want to talk about sex is.
And there may be an underlying reason.
You know, there may be an underlying reason. I mean, many of us, myself included at one time, you know, sex was not something you talked about.
Mm-mm.
Okay? You know, it's something that happens behind closed doors and nobody knows about it. And...
Including the people involved.
Yeah. You know, and that's not necessarily true anymore. You know, there's nothing shameful about being sexual.
There's not, but a lot of people still hold on to the way they were raised or what they were taught or what their previous experience has been. And it's very hard to break away from that. And it takes,
yes, it is.
Takes time and it takes the ability to feel safe.
True.
And if you can't feel safe yet, whatever it is that's keeping you from feeling safe to express your sexual needs, your sexual desires, the fact that you want sex at all, until you work through that, really going to be like pulling teeth.
And that's another good key here too. You know, as you do get your wife to open up to you, you know, however she does it, you know, read or listen to what she says with an open mind and don't be judgmental.
Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely. And
you know, because nothing will get someone to shut back down more than that.
The best way I've learned, and this is a personal thing, so I'm sure I'm not saying it's the only way, but the best way I've ever learned to learn something about somebody, it was not just to listen, but it was to ask questions, open-ended questions, you know, and not in that judgy tone of, what the fuck's wrong with you, but just curious, tell me about that. Why is that? What makes you feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
And some people do not automatically respond to those questions well. If you are private enough that you can't tell your spouse or don't feel like you can tell your spouse about what you want sexually, it may be hard to answer those questions. But again, depending on the method that your partner needs to communicate with you, whether that's writing or you know, showing you, you know, a movie or say, hey, read this book. This is what I want. Whatever their method is, allow them to use that method to fill in any blanks and answer your questions too.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're doing, one, by giving them the space to communicate with you in the way that works best for them, and by responding in an open-minded, non-judgmental way, you are creating a new level of trust.
Yeah.
And so you have to nurture that trust in order for it to grow. You have to nurture it.
Absolutely.
And it is possible that for the rest of your relationship, your wife can only tell you what she wants by writing it down on a piece of paper. You know, perfect world scenario, she would overcome that, but she might not. It depends on age. It depends on what it is that makes her feel that way.
True.
You know, there's all kinds of reasons. But as long as you give her a safe space to communicate in the way that makes her feel comfortable and safe,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to increase a certain level of trust. And I know somebody out there's going, but we're married. We should already have all that trust. Well, you have a certain amount of trust.
You have a certain amount of trust, but understand what you're trying to do. You're by doing what you want to do to introduce some kink into your life, you're taking step to a whole different level.
Absolutely. A different kind of trust.
Yes.
Especially if your partner is somebody who is not comfortable or doesn't feel safe or doesn't feel like it's appropriate to say out loud the things that they want. Whatever right. their reason is for mm-hmm. that, if they don't feel okay doing that, you have got to build very slowly, very carefully, very cautiously a space for them to do that. And that is trust. And mm-hmm. that is a different type of trust.
Yeah.
And it may be that you spend weeks and months just getting them to open up before you get to the good stuff.
Right.
You have to decide now if it is worth it to you.
Before you build the house of kink, you have to lay the foundation.
Oh, I like that. That's a good one. I like that. Our house of kink has a very solid foundation, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, we're only still building the first floor of our house of kink.
Oh, yeah.
I expect us to be a skyscraper when we're done.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, when I say when we're done, when we die in our 90s together. Well, you would have to be 100 and something, but still. Well, when we go out together.
I have good genes. So,
yeah,
I know,
thank God. That is why I chose you. But yes, I like that. It is a house of kink.
Yeah.
That you're building, and your house will look different from our house, and
correct.
That is okay too.
Mm-hmm.
That metaphor can go so many places. I love that, and I think I have a book title in my head.
Oh my goodness!
I know. I don't know what's in the book yet, but I have a title.
You have the title.
Yes, the house of kink needs a strong, solid foundation of communication and trust, and that is what your foundation is: communication
right.
and trust.
Yeah.
Look at us. Wow. You just never know. We turn on the mic. We sit down and talk. We don't know what's coming.
Well, that's what you get when you put me in front of the mic on the middle of the day when I'm not half asleep.
The sun is out. I know. And I'm not in the middle of freaking out about jury duty and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Look at us. I don't know if I'd call it pearls of wisdom, but if somebody else would like to call it that, I'm good with that. I don't feel like there's much more we can say to him. And you did answer him, which is good.
I did answer,
it might be months before he hears this, but he's got his answer.
Right.
And I think that his situation is not completely uncommon. Somebody wants kink, but they're not able or willing to say what it is they want. And the other partner's flailing around going, I want to give you what you want. This sounds great to me, but give me something to work with.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's a slow process. And
mm-hmm.
the scene in your head, if you get to a point where your partner finally opens up and says, writes, shares in whatever way, this is the thing I want, that very first scene
mm-hmm.
should be really small.
Yeah.
And really, when I say basic, I don't want that to sound like, basic, but really simple. Simple.
Simple
is the word
mm-hmm.
I want. Because you're building a foundation. Yeah, I love how this just works on so many levels. So I don't really want to answer the other person's question right now in the show. Not because it's not a good question. It is. I did answer that person. So it's not like they're hanging either.
Gotcha.
But it is definitely an involved one.
All right.
Because it touches on, like last week's question in episode 87, it touches on multiple things.
Ah.
So I'm going to like just sort of tuck that away for a week when we go, fuck, what are we going to do? How are we going to do a listener question? Okay.
All right.
So that's all I can think to say to this person. Do you feel like we've...
I think we've pretty much covered that. Yeah.
Look at us. Okay. So, was there a thing... Yes.
Oh.
So, I was kind of thinking, okay, well, I wrote a blog post this week, and I try to make the blog post that is published in the week of the episode a companion piece.
Sure.
To the episode. And what I did this week is I wrote about the fact that people send in questions or they approach us online, which is fine. And I want to like stress that this is we are happy to help if we can. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes us a few days to get back to people, but we are happy to help if we can. And it's another reason why we put together the Loving BDSM community, so you can go in and you can ask your own questions. And I have had, oh my gosh, I want to tell the story about the blog post, but I'm going to go on a little tangent here. So when I can't get into a new topic or a new question on the community quickly, I save it in my email inbox so I can go back to it later. Well, with jury duty for six business days and all kinds of crazy stuff that went on, I had to let some sit and just sit there. And I just recently got back to them, and I was feeling awful because I don't want anybody to have a question that just sits unanswered.
Mm-hmm.
I go in, and the question was a good one. And the community had already rallied and taken care of this person. And there was nothing for me to add. It would have been just redundant for me to go in and go, yeah, what she said. Yeah, what he said. And I just looked at it and thought, first of all, this is exactly what the community is meant to do. Yay. And then I thought to those people, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You've helped me. Because my fear is that somebody's going to go into that community, ask a question, and then they're going to get literal crickets and not the kind we love. It's just gonna be radio silence. So that is the point.
But that's the point of a community, that everybody is there for everybody else.
Exactly. And if you can answer something, you answer it, and you answer it in a non-judgy way.
Yeah.
And, you know, to the best of your abilities. And if you can't answer it, don't feel pressured to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only people who should feel pressured to voice something if there's no clear-cut answer is us, because we are the system calls us the key master. I'm the key master and you're the what?
Gatekeeper.
I know. That's a Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, is my geek showing? Yes, it is.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
So that is another reason maybe to consider joining the community. So you have a place to just go ask those questions. And then the community, we're at 200 members strong.
Wow.
A lot of free members. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we are at 200 members strong.
Wow.
That's as of June 22nd. So who knows what it'll be like later on.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a companion piece to this, knowing we're going to answer questions, sort of in between. We answer questions episode 87. We're answering questions this week in episode 88. So what I did was I wrote kind of a companion piece of, here, we get questions of every part of DS that you can imagine. Sometimes I get questions and I go, I'm not sure I can even answer this.
Mm-hmm.
I am not qualified. This is a big issue. Here, let me point you to resources. But what I noticed in answering all different types of questions from all different types of dominants and submissives about wherever they're at in their relationship, whether they're still single, they're in the middle of a relationship, or they're going through a breakup, right? My answers are almost always kind of the same. And not that they're answers of concrete nature. I always ask questions.
Right.
And it's always the same kinds of questions.
I get what you're trying to say is maybe that there are common elements.
Maybe so.
Okay.
Or I just am a one-hit wonder and only use them. No, what it is, the reason I felt like it was important to put that out there, that kind of information and something for people to think about. One, I'm not trying to stop anybody from asking us for advice or help, because if we can offer it, we're happy to do it.
Yes.
I certainly don't want anybody to not use the community to ask questions and get advice from other kinksters. Almost every question, minus the extreme ones where I've literally said, I need you to go to this website where there are professionals who can help you, right? Have, yes, common elements. And the common elements are basically, did you talk to the person, especially if you're in a relationship? Have you talked to your partner? Did you listen to your partner? And a couple others. But it's because a lot of our problems, and this is for any of us on any level, kink, vanilla, doesn't matter. When we have a problem, we know the specifics of the problem. And the more specifics there are to our problem, the more we think that a problem is completely unique and nobody else can possibly understand. And there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with the relationship. It's not even fixable. It's this huge quagmire of stuff. And when it comes to the DS part, at least the questions we see, it almost always comes down to communication.
Yeah.
Almost always. Because a lot of times, the first, and I always feel, I don't want anybody to ever feel like I'm talking down to them when I respond. So right. I will usually start the answer with, you have probably already done this, but my first thought is, and it is always, did you talk to your partner? Every time, did you talk to your partner? Did you talk to the person you're having a problem with? Did you? And the few people, not everybody responds, which is fine. I don't necessarily need that much email.
Right.
But for the few people who do respond, almost to a person, with one or two exceptions I can think of, they're like, oh, I forgot that part. So I felt like that particular blog post might be appropriate as a reminder for people. Yeah. You can email me anything you want, y'all. Any question you have, mm-hmm. anything that you're freaking out about, anything that's got you scared, please, 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 please. I'm a resource. But my first question is always going to be, did you talk about it? Mm-hmm. Because that is usually, that is not always the fix.
No.
And I make that, I think I make that clear in that blog post. That is not always the fix, but it is the first step.
Step, right.
Because you don't know what the next step is until you've actually talked to the other person about it. So there is that. And that is the thing I kind of wanted to put out there, that communication is the key to any of this. Mm-hmm. But there does come a point when you can only communicate so much. And I think the last thing I said in that particular blog post is, okay, you've communicated, you've listened, you've tried to adjust and adapt, you've tried to, you know, maybe expectations got more realistic, whatever, and you're still miserable.
Right.
The last thing is, what you gonna do about it?
Well, and there it is. Then, you know, you get your communication in, you talk, you listen, and then comes time for action.
And
you need to set goals and make a plan on how you're going to get there.
And if it's still not working, sometimes, and I have, very rarely will I say to anybody outright, what are you still doing in that relationship? But once or twice over yeah. all the questions I've gotten, I have said, what are you still doing there?
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll say, well, I talked and I listened and we changed this and we tried that and we did this and we did, and they are really well thought out. I'm a, mm-hmm. one of their last resorts, clearly. And I'll give a little bit of my opinion about
right.
based on what they're telling me. Because that's the other thing. When somebody sends in a question, I only know their perspective. That is a very
True.
Narrow look at a situation. So I do not in any way think that I have somehow all of the answers. Which is why I tend to ask more questions.
Right.
And give suggestions of things to try mm-hmm. to figure out the answer for yourself. But there have been once or twice out of the, I don't know, 2 or 3 years of getting messages from people, I have actually said, run. And I don't do that. That's not my style. But mm-hmm. every once in a while I get that. So all of that to be said, please consider joining the community. If you are broke or skeptical about what this is, there is the free level. And I encourage people to try it at the free level because, you know, who wants to shell out money for something that you might not use? I totally get that. But I also did fix a thing in the community that allows people to upgrade if they would like. I'm not a really good business person, but I fixed that now. So if you are at the free level and you want to upgrade to a paid level, yeah, that's easier now. But, you know, feel free to use the Loving BDSM community.
Right.
Please feel free to reach out to us. FetLife is where I tend to get a lot of questions these days, and that's fine.
Okay, yeah.
I have a FetLife profile. I do not use my FetLife profile.
No.
Except for to take messages
right.
and stuff. You can email us through the Loving BDSM website.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, I get a lot of emails to my personal, and I know you do too, and that's fine
right.
because we have our websites, and you're free to do that. But I would love for more people to use the Loving BDSM.
The Loving BDSM.
Because then it's in a central location,
yes,
and we can both see it.
Right.
So, but you can contact us on Twitter. I'm at Kayla Lords. You're at Southern Sir P. I gotta fix you.
You
and there
keep
is a way.
That.
I know, and there's a way to fix you.
Okay.
Technically,
I don't need to be fixed. Everything works fine. Thank you very much.
Oh, I wouldn't fix that at all. That's perfect for me. I'm good. But your Twitter is pissing me off. We're both on Facebook.
Facebook.
I'm only a page on Facebook. Now, technically, I do have a Kayla profile now, but I'm using it for business stuff, and I'm trying to go low-key.
Yeah.
Instagram. We're both on Instagram.
Instagram, we are.
Instagram, I keep getting dick pics, which is funny. We're both on Tumblr. So whatever you're using and
yeah.
it's comfortable for you to contact somebody, if you do have a question about your relationship, about DS, we really are happy to help if we can.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm going to keep pointing you back to the community
mm-hmm.
in this instance while we're still speaking theoretically. LovingBDSM.net, the place to go. All the episodes,
right.
all the blog posts we've written so far. My hope is to get to a point where I have more time and space to write more content for the site, not just the one post and the one podcast episode a week.
Mm.
Because I've got a list of topics to cover that we've already covered in past episodes
mm-hmm.
that would be great as blog posts too.
Gotcha.
But that takes time. So yes, please feel free to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to see you in the community. Yeah, that's,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So we're going to have a bonus section.
Yes.
And I've got a postcard.
Yes.
I know. Woo! I don't know if I have a lot to ramble about this week. I'm sure I can find something. Give me a minute. Okay, so we're going to let everybody else who is not a cricket or is not interested in being a cricket or is like, what the fuck's a cricket? I don't have time for this shit. They can go on about their day and have a good time.
Yes.
Yes. We know we are with some of you on your commute. Hi, don't crash.
Yep.
We have one friend.
Safe driving.
We have one friend who every time she has to like pay her toll or she ends up rolling down her window. I think it's a toll, right?
Yeah.
She has to turn us down.
Yeah.
Because it's always at that moment that her window rolls down that I, scream out lube or fuck me. So if that's you too, we totally understand. So yeah, we're gonna do a bonus section and next week we'll be back to, I think, our
regular topics.
Our list and our topics. And
yeah.
I've got so many.
I know you do.
It's awesome.
I've been looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's growing.
And it's growing. Yeah, that's what he said.
On that note, keep it kinky, y'all.
We'll see you next week. Can I? Daddy? Please?
Baby girl?
Daddy?
Not yet.
But the crickets. Nope. Think of the crickets.
Oh.
The poor crickets. The crickets are patiently waiting for me to fucking figure out merchandise, and I still have not done it yet.
No, you haven't.
I have so much going on.
I know.
But I'm going to do postcards first.
Okay.
Okay, so postcards. First thing about postcards, if you sent me a postcard and I shouted you out on a show and you've been impatiently waiting for your postcard.
They're on the way.
They're on the way. I finally did them. And if you are like, what the fuck's this postcard thing about? There's a link in the show notes page. But basically, everybody wants real mail that's not a fucking bill.
Right.
And this is our way to do that.
Yep.
So we ask for a postcard, ideally of your local area, like one of your touristy ones. But we're finding that not a lot of areas have touristy postcards anymore.
Just because not many people send mail anymore.
I know. So we take letters. We take homemade postcards. Mm-hmm. We take it all, but real mail, you send it to us.
You'll take it all.
I'll take it all. Yes, I will. That's what she said. We take it all in the form of snail mail. And in response, we will send you our special postcards that are not so raunchy that your mail postal person will look at you funny or that the postal service will refuse to send it. But I think they're nice. One is sort of an elegant kind of look and one is very cheeky.
Yeah. Well, they're pinups.
Well, one's a pinup.
Yeah.
Well, technically the other's a pinup, but it's a Victorian pinup, not the same kind of pinup. No. So I like them both.
Yeah.
And I like sending them out.
They're both very nice in their own way.
Yes. So if you don't care about the link and you just want to send a damn postcard, here, I'll help you out. The address is P.O. Box 391, 391, P.O. Box 391, Crystal Beach, Florida. Crystal Beach, Florida. 34681. 34681. And if you still didn't get it after I talked like that,
it'll be in the show notes.
It's in the show notes. Okay, so we got one this week.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a card, a postcard, and a little something special on the inside.
Yeah.
And you did not give us a sort of a pseudonym, so I'm going to call you Miss Sue, and that's all I'm going to say, from Michigan. The card is not actually a picture of Michigan. It's a picture of a bamboo forest in Japan.
Oh.
But it's like a local organization that sells these cards. And it's a beautiful card, right?
Beautiful.
But inside is a postcard from the Interlochen in Michigan. It's a historic site. So that is very cool from the... So the Ottawa Indians once lived in the pine forest between Lake I'm Not Saying It and the other lake I'm not saying.
Wabakanas?
Sure, you go right ahead. And in the late 1800s, white men came and cut the pines.
My apologies.
Right? Leaving only a small forest between the lakes. And so this is about the history of this place and the pine trees and just very cool. And then our little special thing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm so tempted to put this up on the refrigerator next to the youngest pictures. It's a coloring, like a mandala. Am I saying that?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I said it right. With both marker and pencil and crayon, I think.
I believe so.
But it is beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Beautiful. Here's the thing. People think that as a baby girl, I'm all about coloring. The INTJ, that's my Myers-Briggs personality, cannot do coloring. First of all, the crayons never stay sharp enough. I like crayons when they're fresh out of the box. They've never been used that sharp.
Yeah.
They don't last. And trying to pick what color goes next stresses me out. It creates anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate coloring love it, love looking at it, can't do it. It's very sad.
I cannot do that either, but I will have to admit that something I found a bit relaxing in the evening, I've gotten to coloring apps on my iPad.
I know that I tried that too, and it stressed me out trying to pick the color. What color goes next? It's too stressful for me.
And see,
I cannot color.
And see, that doesn't bother me, because what I like about that is if I pop in a color and I don't like it, another tap and it's gone.
You've met me, right?
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about
you. No, but I'm saying, here's why even that won't work for me. I have to make the right decision the first time. And can you imagine how long I'd sit staring, trying to decide which color? So I am always thoroughly impressed. What we need to do, and we may do it before the show airs if I'm on top of things, is take a picture and pop it up on Twitter.
Yep.
Because it is really pretty. And
Yes, it is.
It's because it's a mandala, so many small little sections, it clearly takes time and effort. And I hope it was really relaxing for you to do it, because it is just really, really pretty, and it's just awesome. Mm-hmm. And so thank you. And so, yes, we love mail. We love little surprises in our mail.
Yes, we do.
We love sending postcards. And I am not going to let Miss Sue from Michigan wait 100 years like I've made everybody else wait. I'm going to do your postcard very, very quickly and get it back out to you. And actually, I will probably do two, because you gave us so much. A card, a postcard, and a picture. So that is awesome. And thank you. We love postcards. We love real mail that are not bills. A quick rant about real mail. So we have had the post box that we have from the post office for over a year now, because I just paid the renewal. Okay. Mm-hmm. And of course the renewal always comes at a time when I'm like, the renewal. Okay. So I paid the renewal for that entire now 13 or 14 months, give or take. Yeah. 13 or 14 months. I continue to get some nice man. I'm sure, I am assuming he's a nice man. Electric bill.
Oh goodness.
And for 10 months, maybe more, I put on it, not at this address, return to sender, send it back. I'm not fucking doing that anymore. I'm throwing them away now. I am so over it. Either he doesn't ever wait for a paper bill, he just pays it online, and so nobody knows. Or he doesn't really exist, and they're just, I don't know what the hell's going on, but I did my due diligence for nearly a year.
Right.
Done. Over it. Not doing that anymore. I'm over it. Over it. I got so excited. I open up the box. And we check it once a week. And during the summer, it's harder. But it's great during the school year because it's like right on the way for everything we do. But during the summer, it's harder because we're not taking kids to school. And so you have to make a special trip and yada, yada. Right. But I made sure to do it before this episode so that we would find out if we had mail. And I open up the box and there's like a shit ton of mail. Well, first of all, part of it was junk mail.
Yeah.
It was that time of the month for junk mail.
Right.
And then we had our card from Michigan, which is awesome. And then there's another envelope that looked like something real. Fucking electric bill from a company that can't seem to get their shit
together. The week that you were on jury duty and I went to check it, I got all excited because there was something in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something for somebody's from a veterinarian.
It was an ad.
No, it was a
reminder
card of some kind. Yeah.
Oh goodness.
In an envelope, but it was from a vet.
But it looked like real mail, didn't it?
Yeah.
And that just it's awful. Awful.
Well, it wasn't addressed to you. It was addressed to somebody else.
Well, and I know most. I get occupant, and I get the stuff that comes to Kayla Lords or John Brownstone, and people do put both their names on it, and that's fine. Or they put one or the other, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I tend to get people that over a year ago,
I know,
had the post office box.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like getting a cell phone, and I've had my cell phone number for, what, going on now?
4 years?
More than that.
No, yeah, way more than that. Way more than that. Because you ported your number when we changed providers. Okay, yeah.
And I still get calls asking for so-and-so, and like, oh, I'm sorry, they haven't had this number in years.
The difference between you and me, you answer those calls. I might get them. I let them go to voicemail.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
See, you're nicer than I am. So, do I have anything else? Do you have anything else? I'm sure I have stuff. I did complete jury duty.
Yes, you did.
It was tedious. I think I said that last time.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating. And the coolest thing was actually the jury deliberation.
Ah.
We had sort of three factions. We had two people, because there's only a six-member jury. We had two people who hated the plaintiff, thought she was for shit. Then there were two of us, I was one of them, who really did not like the business. And there were two people who are kind of neutral. So we had to sift through all the stuff that we hadn't been allowed to talk about. And we had been really good. We had not talked about it. We'd done what we were supposed to do. And we got to actually talk about it. And we did not disagree as much as we thought we did.
Okay.
But because two and two, there were two sides that were like, we really hate this side, we really hate that side. We had to find compromise or we would still be there fucking deliberating. That did no harm, you know, that didn't go against anybody's principles.
Right.
And so while we disagreed over this table, we're total strangers, it was, we were grown-ups about it. It was a conversation. It was it was never a heated debate. There was no name calling, you know, nothing like you see in any of the other realms today.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, one of the other jurors, she said, well, this was nice to see that it is possible to disagree and still be polite and still be friendly. I said, I know. I wish apparently more people need to sit on juries. And I, based on one other person on the jury, he had been in a jury before. He was the only one of the six of us who'd ever sat on a jury. And he'd been the foreman last time, so we made him the foreman this time. We all said, you've got experience. And none of us wanted the job. He said that his last experience wasn't like this at all. And we were all ready to talk about it. We're like, oh, we've got opinions. Let's sort through this, right? He said the last time he had to pull the answer out of people and they just didn't really care. So I'm sure it's not like that all the time. But it was nice proof in a world where people tend to scream at one another over the smallest little perceived slight that you could not only not necessarily agree completely on everything, but you could find a middle ground that still felt right to you. That you could say, okay, I don't completely agree with you on this, but I agree enough with you on this thing right here that we can make a decision that seems fair and right and nobody feels, you know, slimy when we're done. So that was kind of cool. And it sort of restored my faith in humanity.
Ah.
You know what's funny, though? My faith in humanity tends to get restored anytime I'm talking to people. This is gonna probably make people laugh, but anytime I'm talking to people about kink. And part of it is because I do not allow certain types of politics to enter into the conversation. I have my political beliefs. If you read or listen between the lines, you can figure out my political beliefs. But I'm ready to just treat individuals as individuals, and who you come to me as and how you present yourself is how I will treat you.
Right.
And it is all about being inclusive and respectful. And everybody has a voice in here and everybody gets a seat at the kinky table and let's talk about it. And so my experience, sometimes I watch people on Twitter or other social media and they're talking about these fights they're getting into with people or these raging disagreements. And I think, am I in a different universe? I know that stuff is out there, and I would be probably be the first one to go, okay, this is too much drama. I'm outie. I have no interest in this, you know? So maybe that's it. Maybe it's I just avoid the drama. I don't know. But, you know, my faith gets restored in humanity anytime I get to have a discussion with a group of kinksters about kink.
Yeah.
This time we were talking about other things. And I did do what I do when I'm in a group of strangers. I wonder if they're kinky. I wonder if they're vanilla. What do I think they would be? And there was only one person that I went, baby girl, bratty, baby girl.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah, and I loved her. I was like, I, in different circumstances, I could so be your friend. I could be completely wrong about her. She could be like total dominant, like, you know, ball crushing dominant. I don't know, but I read her as baby girl. I was like, oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. That was kind of cool.
All right.
So yeah, that's over. And here's the other cool thing that came out of it. This sounds nuts because you know how tired I was and how I kind of still am, a little bit of recovery. I feel refreshed. I'm rejuvenated. Huh. I'm ready to get the fuck back to work until the next bout of anxiety hits, of course.
Yeah.
While we're in that.
Well, because it was a break from the norm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, now for me, it did the opposite for me.
I know.
I think part of it is because I'm trying to fit my way into my new day-to-day routine.
Mm-hmm.
And no sooner, it was like a week and a half into trying to figure out new routine, everything got blown out of the water.
I know. And
you know,
and my routine felt old and familiar. Oh, you get up in the morning, you go, and you're gone
and
all day.
And that really threw
home.
Me for a loop. Last week was rough on me.
I know, you were very tired.
Yeah.
I mean, we were equally tired together, but
you stayed up to work sometime a couple nights till midnight, and I stayed up with you.
I know, and I would go, Daddy, you can go to bed. I can't go to bed. You're not going to bed yet. And I couldn't fault him for that. I have the exact same reaction.
Right.
He does a craft show on the first Friday of the month in our area, and he does not come home until way after 11, and I don't care what kind of day we've got, I am up right there with him.
She's sitting in the chair waiting for me.
So I totally get it.
So that kind of blew me out of the water. Now, I was very grateful when you called me Monday and said you were going into deliberations.
We're going into deliberations. I know. And I told the group, I said, look, because we didn't get to deliberate till 4 o'clock. And so the judge gave us options. And he said, look, you can do this anywhere you want. You can go in, you can deliberate till 5. You can say you're done for the day, come back tomorrow. He says, you can go in and decide you're not coming out. So you got a decision. And I told them when we got in there right at 4, just like the judge predicted. We weren't sure because we're timing everything. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be later. We got in there right at 4, and I said, look, I said, I know I'm just one person. I know everybody's got their own situation. I said, but I would love if we just powered through this and we got it didn't over. Have to come back tomorrow. And they all went, I think you're right. And you know, if you have zero faith in humanity, as many of us, you know, have lost over time, you would think that we would have just rushed through it, made up. No, we went through it, and it was 3 hours.
Wow.
2.5, maybe. Maybe it was 2.5, and then there was the time to get everybody in the courtroom and read the verdict. And ooh, and then the defense attorney pulled the jury. We had to actually say out loud yes or no, if we were unanimous or not. We were. And the thing I really wanted to tell the defense was, you know, if your client hadn't been so fucking shady, you might have won this thing. that was a push, because I'm like, okay, if we can get through on Monday, then I can go back to normal on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we can get back to whatever our lives are going to be, which we're still figuring it out.
We're still working it out. I mean, I'm kind of getting there. For me, right now, it's been going out to the shop in the morning, trying to beat the heat a little bit.
Yeah, that's just a summer routine. It's going to have
working,
to be.
Working till noontime, and we're 1 o'clock-ish, depending on what I'm working on. Mm-hmm. And then coming in for lunch, and then I'm pretty much in for the day.
Yeah, and then there are some days, like, what was it, yesterday? You were like, no, I'll do these other things, and I'll stay inside. And that's the thing that you and I have a lot of conversations about, and I think that anybody, it's not about what we do for a living. I think it's anybody who controls their day-to-day time could probably relate. It's this idea of what society has taught us we're, quote, supposed to do.
Right.
And then when you have the freedom of setting your own schedule, and not everybody does, clearly. A lot of people have jobs where they're told what time they have to be there and what time they're going home, and it's set. There's no control. But anytime you do have control over your own schedule and your own life to that point, for some of us, I myself being one, it's almost scary to have that much control, because I am constantly trying to, quote, do it right.
Yeah.
And so I have, up until recently, I held on to the corporate mindset of you start work at 8, you end at a certain time. And I am finally, and maybe this little bit of bout of jury duty where I was working at night and I was just working when I could and fitting it in when I could, it's making me rethink it. I prefer to work during daytime hours, yes.
Right.
But I don't have to start at 8 o'clock. There's nobody there. I don't have a single client who's going, bitch, why don't I have my shit at 8 o'clock in the morning? Not one of them. And nobody cares. Mm-hmm. Nobody asks weird questions when they get emails from me at midnight. They do not care. I cared more than anybody, and I was making myself nuts over it. Because it's almost like I couldn't handle the freedom.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what to do with the freedom. There has to be a, quote, right way to do this. And there's not. There's a way that works for us.
Right.
As long as we're taking care of our clients, our customers, the product, whatever it is. You know, as long as we're meeting our responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I needed that jolt to the system that had me in tears by the end. I was so freaking tired. To sort of kind of get a little bit of clarity. It was kind of nice.
Yeah, it's different for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I was self-employed before, I had to be up and out at a certain time.
Right, to get it all done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You don't have that anymore.
I don't have to do that anymore.
Well, and think about it. We're going to go visit my family and pick up the oldest, who's with his grandparents for part of the summer, in mid-July. And we're going away for a solid week with the dog. Won't that be fun? Mm-hmm. And I'm not... The only things we will get done ahead of time are like podcast things.
Yeah.
Everything else, my mom has Wi-Fi. I'm allowed to use it. We're going to work while we're there.
Yeah.
We're not going to, I'm not going to kill myself. I don't look at it as an actual vacation. When we have true vacation time, yes, I will front yeah. load all the work to mm-hmm. actually take some time off.
Right.
But I don't have to do that. We get to literally just pick up.
And go.
Drive a million hours. Stay there for a week. Work as we can, when we can.
Mm-hmm.
And then come home. And it's, you know, it's not for everybody. Not everybody has that freedom or that luxury.
Right.
Some people have to keep the jobs they've got, or they want to keep the jobs they've yeah. got. But I think there's a correlation. Because think about it. When you figure out maybe you're kinky, right? Maybe you're dominant. Maybe you're yeah. sub. Maybe you're a switch. And you get into this kinky relationship and you decide, hey, I want to live this lifestyle. And you realize that your sexual preferences and proclivities and the things you like, it's you're a consenting legal adult. You can essentially do what the fuck you want with right. another consenting legal adult. And that's a lot of freedom.
Yes.
And it freaks people out because uh-huh. what they want to do is do it, quote, the right way.
Uh-huh.
You know, they want to be the right kind of dominant or the right kind of submissive or have the right kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like that much freedom to just make it what you want it to be
yeah.
is a little overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, I brought it back around. I brought it home. The yeah, king. Okay, look there at that. Ah, there okay. we go. I was not came just navel circle. Gazing. I mean, there was some navel gazing, but yeah. not complete navel gazing. So, yes, if you've ever had that feeling about your own kink, my point is then you can relate to this feeling. It is a very right. similar very similar feeling
yeah.
of just sort of being unmoored and adrift and just allowed to do whatever the fuck you want. And if somebody looks at it from the outside and goes, you know, when it comes to my work, I'm mm-hmm. like, fuck you. This is what earns my living. This is what fulfills me. I do what yeah. I want. You know? Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at some of the stuff I've been making in the shop. I've been mm-hmm. much more creative in what I've been making now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I know. We've got to deal with your stuff and get you up. And if anybody's like, "Ooh, what's he been making?" Then you need to go to Etsy and look for The Wood Dom. Or yeah. can I give your vanilla site? I have before, but I mean,
yeah.
The Wood Dom, DOM.com.
Right.
The Wood Dom. Of course he's The Wood Dom, y'all. I named him.
Yes, you did. Funny thing with that. I mean, I really wanted it to be The Wood Don,
mm-hmm.
okay, to play on my Italian heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to register the domain name, somebody already had it.
Yep.
And they weren't using it. It was just a parked domain.
Mm. Hate that.
And it had been parked for years.
That's why we don't have lovingbdsm.com.
I know.
Which pisses me off.
I know.
Yeah, I'd have to spend thousands to
get
it.
And with a lot of that work that I do, feel free to look me up on Instagram.
Yes.
I post a lot of stuff as I'm working on it.
It is a vanilla space. He is more open. He is not worried about people finding out his face or his name, but it is a vanilla space.
Right.
So it's sort of like you have to tell your wild, rowdy friends, please do not come up in here to the fifth grade play
yeah.
and hollering. That's
right.
kind of
what yeah.
like needs to be said. But you did finally... We need some more, please.
Mm-hmm.
Get some paddles up on my website.
Yes.
And one was gone same day.
Same day.
Yep.
You know, right now with the heat, I have limited time to work in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's my garage and don't have a window, so I can't even put a wall banger in there and keep me cool.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I think they'd probably frown on that in the association, but...
So, yeah, that is what's going on. And I think that's plenty. Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there we go.
Okay.
Look at us. We sound better than we did last week. I think
yeah.
last week we probably sounded like, oh my gosh.
I know, right?
I feel back to normal.
Yeah,
I feel
me
good.
Too.
Look at us recording in daylight hours.
I know.
This
sun's
cool.
out.
I
wow.
know. It'll be more exciting when school starts and we can record when there are no children at home.
Yeah.
So we don't have to threaten our children. Do not come out of this bedroom. We're doing grown-up things.
We just bribe them.
I know, I do bribe them. I'll give you a sugary snack if you'll stay in here for an hour.
Right.
They
okay.
have access to the bathroom. Don't worry. They're
yeah.
fine. And water. They're good.
They have food, water, and bathroom. They're
and
good.
And Wi-Fi and TV. Cable.
Oh, yeah.
They're good.
yeah.
They have it better than we do.
Exactly.
So. Okay.
All right. Are we good?
We try to be.
Yep. Can't be good.
Be good at it.
Right.
No, that's... Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something
it just
like
doesn't
that.
Seem right to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're fucking that up somehow. Okay.
All right.
Y'all have a good week. I won't say morning or night or lunch. We don't know what time you're listening.
Right.
But we love you for listening.
We do.
Couldn't do it without you.
Great to have you along with us.
We love our crickets.
Yep. All right.
Okay.
We love you.
Love you. Bye.